Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the greatest things about this program for me as a host, and I hope for each and every one of you as listeners, is when we get to talk with people very candidly and openly about how these policies that politicians talk about from an arm's length distance actually impact them and their families. And I wanted to invite you all and remind everyone that, especially here on The Maggie Dawn Show and across the Civic Media Network, we very much care about whether it's the big brutal bill or the shutdown or the Donald Trump taco tariff terror. How is it impacting you, your small business, your family, your children? And we invite you to share those stories with us. There's an email address set up just for this purpose. It is wematter@civicmedia.us. My next guest, her name is Rachel LaCasse Ford. She has gotten insurance for her and her children through the Affordable Care Act exchanges. Her husband will be getting his insurance through the Affordable Care Act this enrollment season. She works with small businesses in the past. She knows how small business owners and their employees rely on the ACA. I'm going to ask her a couple of questions about that, and we're going to hear from her about her family story and her experiences working with small businesses. But to get into this, I think it's incredibly important for us to remind ourselves of some of the context, what is being said right now by many politicians about the Affordable Care Act specifically, and to be frank, the complete and total utter failure of the Republican Party to ever put anything meaningful on the table that would substitute for the Affordable Care Act. But let me start with one of the biggest, fattest, whopper lies that I've heard, and well, I guess I got to limit it to maybe the past 48 hours, that was said at a press conference by the know-nothing but spews information as if he is an expert, Dr. Oz, who's now, I don't know, just bopping around, spewing nonsense. This is Dr. Oz lying to America, standing next to Speaker of the House, magical thinking Mike Johnson, about the Affordable Care Act. Take a listen to this.
You mentioned at the top that you want medications to be affordable, effective, and safe for Americans. We're speaking today on the day that window shopping began in the Affordable Care Act program on those marketplaces. And that shows that unless those tax credits are extended, those subsidies, the average plan will increase for Americans by somewhere around 115%. Do you believe that Congress should extend those subsidies so that most Americans do not receive significant increases in their premiums?
Where'd you get that 115% number from?
Kaiser Family Foundation.
They retracted that. That data was run inappropriately. They changed the messaging on it. Go back and look at the website. Here's the truth.
Yeah, I did. Still there.
Window shopping is
like, I don't even want to listen to what else this man has to say. He literally doesn't know what he's talking about. He just lied. I went and looked at the Kaiser Family Foundation's landing page, and there it is. Increase in enrollee premium payments after the tax credit is defunded by the big brutal bill, 114 plus some tenths of percent, 115%. There it is. Why is this okay for these guys to lie to us? In any case, with that as context, we'll get into more of those lies and some sound of Republicans talking about concepts of a plan and pages, kind of like binders and binders of women. But I want to bring Rachel onto the show. Rachel, thank you for your patience in setting this up. I really appreciate you being here. Tell us about your family's experience and the importance of the Affordable Care Act to your family now and in the past.
Sure. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here. So my husband and I have been on the ACA since it was first rolled out. We got married kind of young. I was 19, and the Affordable Care Act was passed shortly after that. So we were uninsured to begin with, to begin our married life, and then once this rolled out, we were able to get insurance. And it's really been a lifesaver our entire adult lives. What we decided when we decided we wanted to start having kids is that we needed to be really strategic about how we organize our finances. We knew we wanted to have one parent at home. And so my husband is a stay-at-home dad, and he has been for 13 years. And so we knew to make that work, we had to be very smart about how much money we make and how we utilize the ACA and Medicaid. So our kids are actually on Badger Care, and they have been their whole lives. They were born on Badger Care. And we always made sure that we made, anytime I was looking for a job, we made less than a certain threshold so we wouldn't lose that Badger Care and fall off that cliff. And so my husband and I continued on ACA and are still on it. The difference is that I actually have a new job starting soon where I will, for the first time in my adult life, be on private health care by my employer, and I'm going to bring my kids with me. And that's a whole other set of kind of uncertainty because I've never had that before. But my husband will remain on the ACA, and, you know, we've been running the numbers just for him, and, you know, we're anticipating somewhere between a 1,000 and 2,000% increase. We always pick high deductible, low premium plans. So we, you know, our premiums are pretty low, but our deductibles are, of course, very high.
Yes.
So he has a pre-existing condition, so that also is something we take into account. We have to make sure that his daily medication that's very expensive is covered by the plan that we choose. So it just is a really interesting place to find yourself as a parent where you are trying to design your life and you're trying to work around this crazy system where you can't make too much money or you'll fall off a cliff and then you'll end up paying more and make it unaffordable. And so adding this, you know, the expanded tax credits going away for us is really going to force us to think long and hard about how we save for the future, what we can give to our kids, how many vacations we can go on, you know, things like that, that we want to have experiences for our families. But it brings a lot of uncertainty for us, for sure.
And to be clear, so that everyone heard you, Rachel, while you are moving off of the ACA, which should be in relative terms a cost savings because now you have an employer-based plan with some employer effectively subsidy, if you will, payment on your behalf to insure you, your husband is remaining on the ACA, and you said your premiums are going to increase over 1,000%?
Yeah. Yeah, that is correct. Yep, just for him because we had a little bit of savings because there were two of us, which is another funny thing. And so him becoming a single person on the exchange and then losing those subsidies, that would be the increase that we're looking at.
I also want to just take a moment. First of all, that is extraordinary. Dear Dr. Mehmet Oz, maybe you should actually talk to some people that haven't had multi-million dollar TV contracts for the majority of their public life. You know, I want to point out the absurdity of actually trying to manage your household income downwardly so that you don't end up in these gaps, which are going to happen anyways because of the removal of these subsidies. You know, for a party that likes to pound on the table and talk about bootstraps and working hard, that apparently places the accumulation of massive amounts of wealth above all other moral goods in the universe, they've created a system whereby there are now incentives for people to not earn as much because it ends up effectively pricing them out of health insurance, which puts families at risk of bankruptcy if there's a catastrophic problem. And it's not good for our economy writ large. Rachel, you've also, and you were sharing with me before we got on the air, you've been working with small businesses for a long time. This is not an uncommon phenomenon where whether you're talking about the small business owner herself or the folks that work for her. Small businesses, this is going to be quite a blow if even a small portion of what is being predicted by truth-telling, independent, objective organizations about the premium explosions is true.
Right. Yeah, I've been hearing from a lot of my business owners that I know and that I work with. Some of them use the ACA themselves. Some of them provide stipends for their employees to try to help with the cost of health insurance that they buy individually on the exchange. So for these small businesses who can't afford or are too small to get group health programs, this has provided a really viable option. And if anything, in the preceding months before all of this started, I've been hearing more and more companies with the rising cost of healthcare, they say, well, it's going to be cheaper in the long run for us to get rid of our health plans and just provide these stipends to help our employees find it on the exchange. So this has become a real instrumental tool for small businesses to retain and recruit quality workforce into their businesses, and also to provide insurance for themselves, of course. So just everything going on with this program is a lot of instability for families, but it's a lot of instability for our small businesses who already live on the margins and who already are, you know, if they are providing a stipend, it's probably above and beyond, you know, maybe what they really could be doing, but they're doing it to try to make sure that they're taking care of their people. So, having this extra uncertainty is not good for small businesses. And small businesses are the backbone of our economy, especially in rural Wisconsin. And so I just think it's really irresponsible to be, you know, having these things happen.
Yeah, they're facing, you know, this 1-2 uncertainty punch, right? To varying degrees, right? One is the loss of these essential ACA subsidies that allow their employees and themselves, for small business owners, to access healthcare, which, you know, honorable employers that I know want their employees insured and healthy and well and able to get that kind of preventative care so that they can be productive on the job. There's that uncertainty. And then you got the Donald Trump tariff terror, taco flippity floppity, who knows what's happening, which is fine and can be managed if you're Walmart and Amazon, right? Or Bukhairis or the Michaels Corporation. But if you're a small manufacturer in central Wisconsin, boy, that might be a business killer. Or heaven forbid, you're in the beef industry in Wisconsin, or a dairy farmer in Wisconsin, or, oh my goodness, a soybean farmer in Wisconsin, because now your entire business is blown up. So again, when I talk about and I look at the big, brutal bill, it's not just about one issue. It's not just about their slashing SNAP, and I'll talk more about that this hour. It's not just about their defunding of these essential subsidies to help working Americans access the Affordable Care Act exchanges and become health insured and to remain healthy and productive and to have some modicum of human dignity. It is on every conceivable level and front, on almost every single policy point, that the Republicans have said, screw you to middle America, as long as our billionaire bro ballroom donating class is good to go, we'll just assume all that'll trickle down, when there's no evidence that that actually happens. Folks, stay with us. My conversation with Rachel Lacasse Ford continues on the other side. Will her family, with 1,000% plus premium increases, be able to afford health insurance? We discuss on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.